Let's pray. Our great Lord and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you because you are the holy God who has brought us salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you that you have purified we who are sinners. You have brought us cleansing. You have brought us purity, Lord. And we praise you for that. We praise you for Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. We praise you for Jesus Christ, our advocate, our high priest. We praise you that we have a Holy Spirit who cleanses us from every sin. And Lord, we praise you that one day we will be free of all sin and there will be no hint of it remaining in our hearts, Lord. We praise you, the Holy God, right now. And we ask that you would bless the teaching and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Apostle John began this epistle describing the glory of He who is from the beginning. The Lord Jesus, God the Son, was He who was from eternity. He alone was present in the beginning with God. And yet this same one who was from the beginning was also the one who became flesh, such that He was able to be seen with human eyes and touched with human hands. The Word of life was manifested. And by doing so, the Lord Jesus brought the eternal life that was with God the Father to His people. Then John noted in verses 5 through 10 that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is perfectly holy and righteous and pure, and there is nothing unclean, nothing evil that dwells in Him. There is no unrighteousness in God. And thus those who walk in fellowship with Him are called to walk in holiness and called to walk in purity. They are to be marked by light, purity, and a love of holiness. But those who do not have fellowship with God are marked by death, darkness, and unholiness. Those who claim to be perfectly pure and sinless apart from the Lord Jesus Christ are liars, and they are in actuality dead in their darkness, dead in their trespasses, dead in their sins. But John returns in chapter 2, verse 1, to note that the reason why he writes this epistle is so that his readers may not sin. John desires that his readers do not sin and that they live lives of holiness, devoted to purity, devoted to righteousness, and dedicated to living out a life that is consistent with the character of the God who has brought them salvation. Yet we are sinners, even saved by grace. And if we say that we have no sin at all, then we are liars, deceiving ourselves, as we see in chapter 1, verse 8. It is a sad truth that we will continue to sin until the day that we die. We will not be free of the effects of sin until the Lord Jesus Christ glorifies us at His return. So then John ask, what do we do if we do sin? I write this to you that you do not sin, but if anyone does sin, what do we do then? This is one of the great questions of the Christian life. We're called to pursue holiness. We're called to love the God who is holy, but we are sinners still. We remain in sin. We still sin every day, even though we hate it, even though we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. This is one of the great questions of the Christian life. What do we do when we sin? And the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Apostle John, graciously gives us an answer to this question. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And this is the first point that John gives us in the text. We have an advocate. We have a mediator with God the Father. And this advocate is the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one. We have someone who stands on our behalf, someone sinless, who stands in the very presence of God the Father. We do not have another sinner to stand before us. No, we have the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We do not stand naked before the judgment seat of God. No, we stand clothed in Christ's righteousness. We have the righteous one as our advocate. And we have the sinless Son of God to intercede for us on our behalf. In essence, what John is saying here is, what happens when we sin? We have someone to stand before God who does not sin, who has no sin, who is perfect. This passage gives us great comfort in that it describes how our Lord Jesus cleanses us from sin. Under the Old Covenant, the task of cleansing the people of God and presenting them as holy to Him was given to the priests. The priests would cleanse the people of God in two ways. First of all, he would make a sacrifice of atonement, a propitiation for their sins. We read of this in Leviticus 1, where the people were required to bring a spotless male animal that the priests would sacrifice for their sins. Second, the priests would intercede for the people with the Lord. The high priest would go before the Lord with the people upon his heart and represent them to God. The high priest had a golden breastplate with the names of the 12 tribes engraved on it, on 12 stones, the names of the peoples of Israel, the name of every 12 tribe. In Exodus 28, verses 15 through 21, the instructions for this breastplate are given. And the purpose of this was so that the high priest might go before the Lord God into the presence of God and bring the people of God upon his heart. The high priest would intercede for the people of Israel with the Lord. And in this passage, we see the Lord Jesus doing the same thing for us, for his people, except in a more perfect and complete manner. The Lord Jesus makes a sacrifice of atonement for us, and he intercedes for us. The Lord Jesus stands as our great high priest, making atonement and intercession for us. We have a great high priest who stands in the very presence of God on our behalf. When we sin, we can have faith in the one who is our advocate, who is in the presence of the Lord. We have a high priest who intercedes for us. And just as the high priest of old would wear the names of the people of God upon his heart, so does the Lord Jesus Christ lift us up before the Lord. The Lord Jesus took upon himself our very flesh, and such that he might know every weakness that we know, yet he was without sin. And in this way, he is able to intercede for us. In Hebrews 4, verses 15 through 16, it reads, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have an advocate, one who goes before the Father on our behalf and presents his people as holy and blameless to God. And this leads to the next question. How is he able to intercede for us? How is he able to bring us before the Lord and present us as holy to him? And the answer to this is that he is able to intercede for us because he is the propitiation for our sins. And this is the second point we see in the text. Our great advocate, our intercessor, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. So what does it mean that he is a propitiation? The word propitiation means a sacrifice that is meant to avert wrath, a sacrifice that's meant to appease the wrath of God. It is an offering that's meant to avert judgment, a sacrifice of atonement. The truth is that all sinners stand under the wrath of God. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." They stand in need of something to keep them from the wrath of God. They need someone to come between them and God's wrath, God's judgment, God's righteous judgment that they deserve. And this is precisely what happened in the cross of Christ. The Lord Jesus went to the cross and became a sacrifice, a propitiatory sacrifice. He was the one who averted the wrath of God. He was the one who suffered in our place. The wrath of God thus fell upon him rather than upon his people, and they were spared the wrath of God. In the Old Covenant, believers would bring a spotless animal to the priest. The priest would then slay the animal and sprinkle its blood around all over the altar and then cut it up and burn it. The point of this was to teach the people that they needed atonement for their sins. They needed a substitute. God instituted the sacrificial system so that the people would know that they needed something else to suffer in order that they might not. That is why a male without blemish was offered. It was meant to be a perfect, clean animal, a symbol of purity that was offered in the place of the people. When the priests slew the animal, it was a symbol of God's destruction upon their sins. When the animal was destroyed, rather than the person offering the sacrifice, then they would see that God's judgment upon that sacrifice rather than upon them. And they would be kept clean. They would be pronounced clean by the priest. It was a symbol of sins being punished. It was symbolic of the fact that God looked at the animal rather than the sinner and destroyed the animal rather than the sinner who deserved it. And this was the task of the high priest, to make the people pure and acceptable by offering these sacrifices. But the problem was that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, as the book of Hebrews says. Bulls and goats were not true substitutes for the sinner, but only pointed to the one true sacrifice for sin. Therefore, it was necessary that another greater sacrifice be offered, a perfect sacrifice, a perfect human sacrifice, be offered in the place of sinners. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. This is why he suffered. This is why he bled. This is why he died. Because he was our sacrifice. We look to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the perfect sacrifice, and we see God's judgment upon him rather than upon us. And we know that our sins have been propitiated. God has punished our sins. There is no more judgment remaining for our sins. God's wrath has been completely paid on Christ, not upon us. As 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And for this reason, those of us who trust in his name can now be pronounced just. We can now be pronounced righteous clean in the sight of God. Our high priest can now pronounce us as clean because he has made the sacrifice of himself. He has paid the price personally for those of us who trust in him. And thus he is able to intercede for us. Thus he is able to enter into the throne room of heaven and bring his perfect sacrifice to God and say, this person is clean because my sacrifice has paid for all of their sins. He is able to point to his people and say, this person is righteous, not because of anything in them, but because of the sacrifice that I made on the cross. Thus, we have a great high priest who intercedes for us perfectly because he stands in heaven. He has already made the perfect sacrifice, and now he makes the perfect intercession for us. He is our great high priest, and those of us who are in him receive a great intercession. He can thus be our advocate. And this great atonement and intercession is valid not only for those in John's time and in his era, but for each and every one of us. This atonement and intercession is valid across the globe, all over the world. And this is the third point we see in the text. Christ's propitiation is valid not only for Abraham and his physical seed, but for all who trust in Christ, no matter where they are. For centuries, the entirety of God's redemptive work was limited to one small strip of land in Palestine and to one race of people, those who were physically descended from Abraham. It was the Jews alone who had a valid high priest before God. It was the Jews alone who had atonement, who had sacrifices. It was the Jews alone who had prophets, priests, and kings who were ordained to rule and sacrifice and preach to God's people. But with the coming of Christ, God brought salvation to every race, every nation, all over the globe. Every tribe, every tongue, every people now is able to have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul says, know then that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Now it is no longer those who are merely physical descendants of Abraham, but everyone who trusts in Christ is also counted along with Abraham as a righteous person because we have faith in he who has made our sacrifice on our behalf. He is the propitiation not only for the sins of those who are physically Jews, but also for those who trust in him and are thus spiritually Jews. When we look to the book of Acts, it was a great wonder to the Jews originally that God had allowed the Gentiles to be co-heirs with them of eternal life. Acts 10, verses 44 through 47 says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? It was a great wonder that God grafted the Gentiles, all the nations, into the body of the church, who before them was primarily made up of physical Jews. But now the church has been expanded to include every nation. Everyone in this room is part of a nation that Christ has brought salvation to. That there is no longer any need to be part of the physical family of Abraham. Christ has brought redemption to the whole world. And so what a glorious truth this passage represents. We have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus, who has made a perfect propitiation for our sins, a perfect sacrifice. He suffered the wrath of God so that we might not. And now he intercedes for us, bringing that sacrifice before the throne room of heaven and claiming it on our behalf. He intercedes for us. We have a perfect advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There's no greater comfort that can be given than the one that's given in these two verses. Every sin that we've ever committed, every sin that we do commit, Jesus Christ has paid for with his sacrifice. And though we hate it, though it wounds us, though it properly grieves us, yet our comfort is found in the fact that we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins. And this sacrifice is never to be repeated. There is no need for any further sacrifice, any further wrath of God, because the Lord Jesus took it all on our behalf. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And this is our song. This is what we praise him for. We have a great high priest who has made it so that we never have to experience the wrath of God. This is our great problem. We are sinners. We stand in need of redemption and forgiveness from him. We stood before God under condemnation because we've sinned against him and offended the ruler of the universe. And so we need some way of dealing with sin and removing it. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He has given us an atoning sacrifice and a great high priest in himself. He intercedes for us. In this life, we have the horrible problem of indwelling sin. Yet we who are Christians have this glorious truth, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And yet those who are not Christians, those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot say this. They do not have an advocate with the Father. They do not have the propitiation for their sins. Those who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ stand naked under the wrath of God. And to those of you who do not trust in him now, I would say, come to him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find a perfect sacrifice for your sins. Look to he who paid the ultimate price and trust in him that you might not experience the wrath of God. And to you who are believers, I would also say, come to him. Come to your great high priest. Come to him because you will find comfort and rest for your souls. Come to he who is your advocate, who brings his perfect sacrifice before the Father on your behalf. Look to he who is your great high priest. As the author of Hebrews says, for it is fitting for us that we have such a high priest who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. When sin dims your assurance and brings darkness into your soul, turn to Christ. For it is in him, our great high priest, the propitiation for our sins, and our advocate with the Father, that we find our life, our joy, and our comfort. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we praise you that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you that we need not experience the wrath of God ever, Lord. We praise you that we have a faithful Lord who intercedes for us. And Lord, we just ask that you would bring that comforting truth to each and every one of our hearts this evening, Lord, and that this truth may guide us and direct us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.